This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, August 7th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
In Turkey, bonds tumble after the lira weakens to a record.
In Iran, U.S. sanctions go into effect as President Rouhani comes under increasing pressure.
The Bank of Japan reportedly considered raising rates earlier this year.
And the U.S. government lays out its appeal of AT&T's Time Warner takeover.
The defense will get to cross-examine the prosecution's star witness in the Paul Manafort Bank anti-tax fraud trial, plus more on the historic wildfires in California. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, the Yankees turn it around in a big way on the South Side. And welcome to the club, Lance Lynn.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit USCFinvestments.com. That's USCFinvestments.com.
Global stocks are rising as earnings boost investor sentiment while the backdrop of trade concerns and geopolitical tensions persists. 6:01 on Wall Street, we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 6 points this morning. Dow futures up 78. NASDAQ futures up about 23. DAX in Germany is up 0.9%. CAC in Paris up 0.7%. FTSE 100 up 0.6%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.7%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong jumped 1.5%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.94%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.65%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.8% or 53 cents to $69.55 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.5%, up $5.80 to $12.23.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.1589, the yen, 111.19. And this data check brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Bob.
We begin in Turkey, where bonds are tumbling after the currency weakened to a record low. The move comes after President Erdogan vowed to retaliate against U.S. sanctions. Bloomberg's Onur Ant reports from Istanbul.
It is certainly a very different Turkey. Such swift depreciation in the currency and fallen bonds wasn't something we have seen since the global financial crisis. But what's different this time around is that there's no tangible, solid reason for markets to tank so suddenly. In that sense, it does feel like we're entering a new phase.
Now, the Turkish lira is paring some of those losses after a CNN report that officials will travel to the U.S. for discussions.
The Japanese yen is stronger after news that the Bank of Japan reportedly considered raising rates earlier this year. Bloomberg's Wes Goodman has more from Singapore.
The Reuters report said the BOJ had planned to raise rates a couple of times this year, but it held off because of market turbulence and because of low inflation. You know, that suggests that they're data dependent. Nobody's suggesting the BOJ is near hiking rates, but the pledge to keep rates low for an extended period may come to a close sooner rather than later if inflation picks up.
At its July policy meeting, the Bank of Japan tweaked some elements of its stimulus policy to make it more sustainable. The central bank releases a summary of opinions from that meeting tomorrow.
In China today, the Shanghai Composite posted its biggest gain in more than 2 years. The benchmark index rose nearly 3% after a state media report raised hopes for further policy support. At the same time, China's foreign currency holdings increased last month, rising by $5.8 billion in July. That was higher than all estimates in a Bloomberg survey of economists.
The first round of U.S. sanctions on Iran went into effect at midnight. The penalties drew fresh condemnation from European allies who are standing by the nuclear accord that President Trump quit in May. Iranian President Rouhani said he will not enter into negotiations with the U.S. while sanctions are in place. Meanwhile, Daimler is scrapping expansion plans in Iran as a result of those sanctions.
Here in the U.S., the government has outlined its argument for reversing AT&T's takeover of Time Warner. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with details. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Bob. Antitrust officials from the Justice Department said the judge that ruled in favor of AT&T's takeover of Time Warner ignored economic theory and common sense. Yesterday, the government's attorneys filed their opening brief to appeal U.S. District Judge Richard Leon's decision. The government contends the tie-up will hurt consumers. It's a last-ditch attempt to undo the transaction that has transformed AT&T into a media conglomerate and inspired other corporate giants to try and test the bounds of antitrust law. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. In Italy, shares of UniCredit are up more than 2%. The bank reported second quarter profit that beat analyst estimates and expects to reach its target for cutting branches and staff ahead of schedule.
Shares of Commerce Bank are down 2% in Frankfurt. Profit and revenue at Commerce Bank beat estimates, but that growth dented both profit margins and the bank's core capital level.
Standard Life Aberdeen suffered redemptions of more than $21 billion in the first half. The outflows are another sign that investors remain nervous about market volatility and economic uncertainty. CEO Martin Gilbert spoke with Bloomberg about the results.
Market conditions are tough out there for the industry, and we certainly feel we're in one of the best positions with one of the strongest balance sheets in the world to weather what's going to be a tough period ahead.
Still, shares of Standard Life Aberdeen are up 3% in London after the asset manager said it would accelerate a share buyback program.
Shares of jewelry maker Pandora are down nearly 20% this morning. We bring in Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek live in London for details. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Bob and Karen. This comes after the world's biggest jewelry maker cut its profit and sales forecasts amid struggles in key markets like the US and China. Pandora now expects sales to rise by 4 to 7% in local currencies this year. That's down from a previous forecast of 7 to 10%. And the company didn't give a reason for the poor outlook. They said they'll do that in the second quarter earnings report that's due to be released later this week. Investors were battered by a similar slump just 3 months ago when Pandora's first quarter report disappointed. But this is the biggest one-day drop in 7 years, taking the stock to its lowest since April of 2014. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. And activist investor Carl Icahn is recommending that Cigna shareholders vote against the company's $54 billion takeover of Express Scripts. That just crossing the Bloomberg. Icahn is said to have taken a stake in Cigna in order to oppose the move. He says the insurer is dramatically overpaying for Express Scripts. Right now, S&P futures are up 6.5 points, Dow futures up 80, NASDAQ futures up 23. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. Next comes the cross-exam. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr with that and more. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. The defense will get to cross-examine Rick Gates, who gave damaging testimony against Paul Manafort in his bank and tax fraud trial. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager has more on the government's star witness.
Manafort's longtime deputy, Rick Gates, has taken the stand. In his testimony, he admitted to committing crimes with his former boss, including claiming loans as income to reduce Manafort's tax bill and working at Manafort's direction to conceal income and foreign accounts. Gates also says he submitted fake expense reports that brought him hundreds of thousands of dollars he didn't deserve. Manafort's lawyers accuse Gates of embezzlement and setting up the bank and tax structures that put him in his predicament. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Radio.
Northern California is grappling with the largest wildfire in California history. Yesterday, twin fires north of San Francisco, burning just miles apart, became the largest collective wildfire in state history, burning an area nearly the size of Los Angeles. Four states hold primaries today. In Ohio, there's a special congressional election in the 12th district. That's traditionally strong red territory, but polls show a close race. Soldiers have pulled a man alive from the rubble of a large mosque flattened by an earthquake on the Indonesian island of Lombok today. Bloomberg's Rika Hadiana in Jakarta has more on the powerful quake that left more than 100 people dead and hundreds injured.
The magnitude 7 earthquake has left more than 20,000 people homeless. Authorities are still focused on rescue and relief operations with global aid pouring in. The second quake to hit the popular tourist island in a week is leading to an exodus of tourists from the region. In Jakarta, this is Rika Hadiana, Bloomberg Daybreak.
At Cape Canaveral.
Ignition.
SpaceX successfully deployed an Indonesian satellite into orbit early today.
notching another milestone in its bid to quickly reuse rockets in its 15th mission of the year. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
That really is rocket science. Thank you, Michael Barr. It is now 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Great game for the Yankees on several fronts. First and foremost, offensively.
Swung on, head in the air to right center and deep. Back goes Engel on the track, at the wall, and she's gone. It's a two-run home run for Neil Walker. Walker, the home run corker. He drills one to deep right center.
Yankees radio as they blanked the White Sox 7-0 on the south side of Chicago. New York didn't even score until the fourth inning and did all their damage in just three frames. Walker and Gleyber Torres each with home runs, and the heart of the order all had multi-hit games. Welcome to the club, Lance Lynn. He became just the seventh Yankee starter since 1990 to record seven scoreless innings in his debut.
I came to this start knowing that I needed to do job, and I needed to do it at a high level. And I came out and had a good start. You know, the offense gave me some runs. Defense did a great job, and, you know, we're here, and we won, and hopefully I can keep doing that, and we can make a run at it.
The Yankees increased their lead to 3 over the A's, 5 over the M's for the final wild card. Series continues tonight at CC Sabathia versus Reynaldo Lopez at 8:10. Mets beat the Reds 6-4 at Citi Field. Noah Syndergaard improved to 7-2 despite allowing 4 runs in 6 1/3. He got help offensively, though, as New York plated 3 runs in the first inning and never looked back. 3 Mets each with 3 base hits. Homestand continues tonight. Jason Vargas hosts Sal Romano. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thank you, Rob Bushka. In other sports news, it's a new way to keep the next Olympics safe and secure. A new facial recognition system will be used across an Olympics for the first time during the 2020 Games in Tokyo. The NeoFace technology developed by NEC Corporation will be customized to monitor every accredited person, including athletes, officials, staff, and media, at more than 40 venues, games, villages, and media centers. S&P futures currently up 6 points. That is 0.2%. Dow futures adding 78 points. NASDAQ futures up by 22 points. The 10-year yield at 2.9488%. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And a sports update brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank with strong relationships and customized solutions. They work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Robert Mueller's probe is heating up. In the trial of Paul Manafort, former Deputy Rick Gates testified the two men committed the crimes of which they're accused. Reuters reports the Bank of Japan planned to raise rates this year but failed to act on two occasions. Market volatility in January reportedly forced the central bank to put off a hike. Turkey's 10-year bond yield hit a record 19.9% high. The move follows concern over central bank policy paralysis. And SoftBank is riding to the rescue of Alibaba's food delivery unit, which has burned an enormous amount of cash. Sources tell Bloomberg that SoftBank's Vision Fund will lead an investment of $3 to $5 billion and is heading up talks with investors. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Hannah, thank you. S&P futures up 5 points this morning. Dow futures up 68. NASDAQ futures up 20. The DAX in Germany's up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.94%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.9% or 60 cents to $69.61 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $6 to $12.2370 an ounce. The euro, $1.1586. The yen, 111.18. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, today voters in Missouri, Kansas, Michigan, and Washington all head to the polls for primaries today. In Missouri, Republicans will pick Monica will face off against Democratic Senator Claire McCaskill. In Michigan, in addition to the voters selecting in the gubernatorial race, five congressional districts are also on the ballot. In Washington, three congressional districts will select who will be on the ballot. In Ohio, a special congressional race is being held in the 12th district, and polls show a close race in a strong red territory. The first round of sanctions suspended under the Iran nuclear deal are back in place. The move comes after President Trump signed an executive order reinstating the measures. In sports and baseball, the Yankees and Mets were winners. The Giants lost. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
6:20 on Wall Street. Good morning, I'm John Tucker. Disney reports earnings after the close of regular trading in New York today. Let's get a preview from Geetha Ranganathan, Bloomberg Intelligence, U.S. media analyst. Geetha, thanks for being with us this morning. The chase for Fox assets is out of the way for Disney, so what's the focus now?
Yes, good morning, and thank you for having me. So I think the focus is going to be on a couple of things. We expect a fairly healthy earnings report reflecting strength in both studio as well as parks. But I think the major focus for investors is going to be any early data points that Disney can provide on the success of their streaming product, which was ESPN Plus. Now, that was their first foray into direct-to-consumer. So I think the street is going to be definitely looking to see how successful the product has been so far, because it's now going to be one full quarter that the product is available in the market. And I think the other thing that investors are going to focus on is going to be any commentary surrounding Sky. So we know Comcast is still in the race for Sky, and Fox has until the end of day tomorrow, as per UK regulatory rules, to submit a new bid. So I think we'll be looking for some direction there as well.
How badly does Bob Iger want Sky?
So he has repeatedly spoken about Sky very highly. It is definitely important to their strategy. It allows them to diversify geographically. It allows them to have that direct-to-consumer platform. But then again, with Comcast kind of pulling out of Fox, there has been some speculation that there might be an amicable carve-up and possibly a swap of assets, meaning Disney kind of give up the chase for Sky, possibly eventually sell the 39% stake that they get through Fox in return for maybe Comcast's stake in Hulu. But, of course, all that is yet to be seen.
The TV assets, they've been declining. So with respect to the movie assets, is there more of a focus on that?
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, cord cutting has really kind of taken a big bite out of TV, and they know that, which is why they've been making these investments in streaming with ESPN Plus, kind of getting that direct-to-consumer product going. And, of course, it's all about content, and they have really done a fantastic job in scaling up content. They've done that on the movie side with Lucasfilm, with Pixar, with the Marvel titles, and now, again, considerably scaling up their content portfolio with Fox. So really beefing up their investments before they go direct to consumer next year with their, you know, Netflix killer product, so to speak.
All right, tell me more about that. How do they take on Netflix? I mean, they've got the content, right?
Yeah, they absolutely have the content. So even without the Fox deal, they have a very deep library of, of old movies that resonate very well with audiences all across the globe. They've been, you know, firing on all cylinders when it comes to their, action films, their Marvel properties, the Star Wars properties. So they're doing really, really well on the box office front. I mean, if you just look at their performance this year, the top five, if you just look at the top eight films, five of the top eight films are actually from Disney, and their box office so far has been $2.6 billion, and that's way ahead of the next studio, which is like $1 billion or so. So they absolutely absolutely are dominating as far as box office is concerned. So this really enables them to have a very robust product when they go direct to consumer next year.
Why is it next year? I'm a little confused. Why does this take so long?
So that's what they had announced. They need to make all the investments, and I think they were kind of dipping their toe in the water a little bit with ESPN Plus, kind of see how that success goes, how the product launch goes, kind of gauge the market sentiment a little bit. And then now they're really kind of bolstering their portfolio before they make that big splash next year.
All right. We get the earnings from Disney after the close of regular trading in New York today. Geetha Raghunathan, analyst with U.S. Media for Bloomberg Intelligence. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. And ahead of the market open on Wall Street, futures point to a higher open, S&P futures up 5 right now. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brought to you by National Realty, developers of Prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach Real Estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning. It's 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are rising around the world as earnings season enters its final phase. Chinese stocks enjoyed their best day in more than 2 years, jumping almost 3%.
And China's foreign currency holdings separately increased last month despite a weakening yuan and worsening outlook for export growth. Reserves rose $5.8 billion in July. That was higher than all estimates in Bloomberg's survey of economists.
The yen is stronger following a Reuters report that the Bank of Japan had considered raising interest rates this year.
In Turkey, bonds are tumbling after the currency weakened to a record low, with yields on 10-year debt reaching a record 20%. Bloomberg's Simon Demokan reports from Istanbul.
Turkey is in a currency crisis. The lira is being hit by both external shocks and domestic economic factors. There's an ongoing diplomatic spat with the U.S. There are also concerns about the health of Turkey's economy. Turkey's inflation rate is at the highest level in 15 years, and it has one of the largest current account deficits in emerging markets. In Istanbul, Simin Demirkan, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Simon. And the lira is pairing some of those losses now after a CNN report that Turkish officials will travel to the U.S. for discussions.
Daimler is scrapping expansion plans in Iran due to U.S. sanctions on the country. Those renewed penalties went into effect at midnight.
As for earnings, UniCredit shares are up more than 2%. Cost cuts help the Italian bank beat earnings estimates.
Shares of Commerce Bank are down more than 2%. Profit and revenue beat estimates, but that growth dented profit margins and the bank's core capital level.
Shares of Pandora down nearly 20% in Denmark. The world's biggest jewelry maker cut its profit and sales forecasts.
It is now 6:32 on Wall Street. That is time for your Volatility Index report. And the VIX fell yesterday to close at 11.27. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is lower to 11.04. That's this morning's volatility report.
And futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 6 points. Dow futures up 79. NASDAQ futures up 20. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. DAX in Germany is up 0.75%. So is the CAC in Paris. FTSE 100 up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32nds. Yield 2.94%. The yield on the 2-year 2.65%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.9% or 61 cents to $69.62 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5%, up $5.50 to $12.23.20 an ounce. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It is now 6:33 on Wall Street. The latest on the courtroom drama for the former Trump campaign boss. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, Bob. Paul Manafort's bank and tax fraud trial enters its sixth day today. Yesterday, Manafort's former right-hand man, Rick Gates, broke his silence and offered testimony about how offshore accounts and shell companies were allegedly used to pay his boss for political consulting work. Gates told jurors that he worked to help Manafort conceal millions of dollars in income from the IRS. The defense will likely get a chance to cross-examine Gates today. The first set of fresh U.S. sanctions on Iran is in effect. Ed Baxter has the story in our Bloomberg 960 San Francisco newsroom.
These restrict the purchases of dollar banknotes by Iran, and Bloomberg's Greg Sullivan reports some precious metals as well.
Gold, precious metals, other industrial metals, the auto industry, and even pistachios.
Iran's President Hassan Rouhani quick to react, saying it's hard to negotiate when somebody's holding a knife to your body. And the foreign ministers of France, Germany, and the UK say that the current agreement is working, and it's crucial for the security of Europe. The EU issuing a blocking statute protecting members from impact of the sanctions. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Flames spreading in Northern California's Mendocino and Lake counties north of San Francisco have now created the state's biggest wildfire ever at over 283,000 acres. The Mendocino Complex fire has burned 75 homes and keeps growing. Four states are holding primary elections today, including Kansas. Voters there are choosing in the gubernatorial race. The Democratic side is crowded, and among the contenders, 17-year-old Jack Bergeson. He says his lack of political experience may benefit him in this election.
You have an experienced businessman in the White House right now. Hillary Clinton was an experienced politician, and they were both very unpopular. People are looking for fresh faces that aren't necessarily entrenched in the business world or political world.
Candidates in a closer-than-expected race for a U.S. House seat in Ohio made their final push before today's special election. Troy Balderson, a two-term Republican state senator, is working to retain GOP control of the 12th District, which Republicans have held for nearly 35 years. Balderson faces Democrat Danny O'Connor, the Franklin County recorder who has reported raising more money than his Republican opponent. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. That moves us along to 6:35 on Wall Street. Time now for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Yankees need pitching if they're to make a deep run in the postseason. It's exactly what they got Monday night in Chicago, beating the White Sox 7-0. Welcome to the club, Lance Lynn. He became just the seventh Yankee starter since 1990 to record seven scoreless innings in his debut. And he impressed skipper Aaron Boone.
I thought both his fastballs, the two-seamer and his four-seam fastball, so the ability to pitch at the top of the zone, we saw a lot of elevated fastballs from him that was effective, but also that two-seamer, that sinker he works down at the bottom of the zone. I thought those, you know, he mixed in enough off-speed, but I thought it was about the two planes with the fastball.
Offensively, Gleyber Torres and Neil Walker went deep. In the heart of the order, each had multi-hit games as New York ended their season-long losing streak, and it was a welcome sight for Torres, who was 0-for-11 against Boston last weekend. New York's 3 ahead of Oakland, 5 up on Seattle in the wild card, and will turn to CC Sabathia tonight as he faces Ronaldo Lopez from the south side at 8:10. Mets got 3 runs in the first inning. Noah Syndergaard did the rest as New York beat the Reds 6-4 to open a series at Citi Field.
I didn't feel like I had the best stuff in terms of mechanically and in terms of stuff. I was able to go out there and survive through 6. I just kind of ran out of gas in the 7th. At that point, the offense had supplied enough runs for us to win a ball game, and the bullpen came in and shut it down.
Syndergaard runs his record to 7-2 with an impressive 3.17 ERA. Jason Vargas hopes some of that good fortune finds him tonight as he battles Sal Romano. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Rob Bushka, appreciate it. Now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
The Treasury Department is looking into changing the way taxes on capital gains are assessed. The idea is to confine the taxes to real inflation-adjusted gains. There's a particle of sense in this notion, but it's buried miles deep in bad faith and bad economics. The change would amount to a tax cut that the country cannot afford. Its benefits would be heavily skewed toward the very wealthy. It would open vast new opportunities for tax avoidance, and it would be done without involving Congress. Unaffordable, unfair, inefficient, and quite possibly unlawful. For just one idea, that's impressive. The federal government is already borrowing close to $1 trillion a year, and that's with the economy at full employment. To pile another tax cut on top of this would be madness. The plan should be dropped. If not, it may succumb in short order to the legal challenges it will surely provoke. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. When President Trump criticizes so-called fake news, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein wants lawyers to think of one thing. Nancy Lyons explains from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Rod Rosenstein wants them to think of our democracy.
He said that, you know, the rule of law was really the crown jewel of that system and that we all need to work hard to protect it.
Bloomberg Law's Kimberly Robinson says Rosenstein spoke at the recent American Bar Association conference. He told his colleagues to follow neutral principles and reserve judgment.
Remaining open to different ideas that may go against our preconceptions.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. It is now 6:39 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. The United Nations wants to know how many chemicals and pharmaceutical compounds are getting into the global water supply from the drug manufacturing process. In a report released in advance of World Water Week later this month, the UN's environment program warns that drug-making facilities are an important source of environmental pollution. Keeping the potentially harmful chemicals out of the water supply is no simple process. The UN report points out that wastewater treatment plants aren't designed to deal with complex chemical compounds because they mostly reduce solids and bacteria by oxidizing the water. High percentages of the chemicals used in drugs and personal care products remain after the treatment process and can eventually end up in the oceans or fresh water supplies. There's concern such pollution could enter the food chain or alter such things as fish reproduction and human reproductive systems as well. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures currently up 7 points, 0.25%. Dow futures have added 88 points. NASDAQ futures higher by 22 points. 10-year Treasury prices down 1/32. The yield at 2.9451%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up, Bloomberg Morning Call brought to you by Columbia Bank. With 48 locations across New Jersey, you're never far from their wide range of banking solutions. From personal business banking, mobile and online, you can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. With futures higher this morning, we go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning. Karen, U.S. futures are climbing amid gains for global equities. Dow futures currently up 84 points. S&P's gained 6 and NASDAQ futures rise by 19. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.95% and Shanghai rose 2.7% overnight. That's the most since May of 2016. While European markets are also rising, led by gains in Italy and Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 3 o'clock, consumer credit. And after the bell last night, Zillow cut its forecast for the year. Shares are down 17% in the pre-market. And regarding some of the earnings this morning, Dentsply full-year adjusted EPS forecast missed the lowest estimates, and Dean Foods cut its forecast. In other news, in a letter to shareholders, Carl Icahn said that the Cigna deal is dramatically overpaying for Express Scripts. And wrapping things up, PulteGroup was downgraded to neutral at Mizuho. Lumina was upgraded to EcoWeight at Morgan Stanley. And Church & Dwight downgraded to hold over at SocGen. Live from the First Break News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And just checking some of those stocks that Bill mentioned, Express Scripts down 2.1% in early trading. Dean Foods, as Bill said, cutting its forecast, its shares down 7.3% this morning. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Rick Gates, the star government witness in former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort's trial, is expected back on the stand today. Gates is testifying against Manafort, who is on trial for falsifying tax returns and failing to report millions in income.
Stiff U.S. sanctions against Iran have gone back into effect after President Trump declared the landmark 2015 nuclear agreement was horrible. The sanctions reinstated today target financial transactions that involve U.S. dollars, Iran's automotive sector, the purchase of commercial planes, and metals, including gold. In sports and baseball, the Yankees and Mets were winners. The Giants lost. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, the new $215,000 Ferrari Portofino is exceeding expectations. It's the replacement for the California T, Ferrari's all-time bestseller, and that famous Ferrari red, Rosso Corsa. It can be comfortably driven every day with performance that should be reserved for the track. Bob, it's also fitting. It's a tribute to Sergio Marchionne, the revered boss who died last month.
Now, Michael, you did say $215,000, right?
$215,000. That's pocket change.
Yeah, you're talking to somebody who might be able to afford a ride home on Uber or Lyft.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. I can afford that 40-seater BUS. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Michael. Now, 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. And some of the top stories in our nation's capital include Paul Manafort's tax and bank fraud trial heating up after testimony from top aide Rick Gates yesterday. President Trump meets with leaders from major companies at his golf resort in New Jersey today. And the U.S. has officially restored sanctions on Iran. The first round of penalties went into effect at midnight. And let's get more on these stories now from Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, good morning. Let's start with the trial of Paul Manafort. There's lots to digest from yesterday's proceedings. Fill us in a little bit.
Yesterday was a really dramatic day. It's Rick Gates, who testified, is basically the prosecution's star witness, and he essentially testified that he worked with Manafort to shield millions of dollars from the IRS and other tax authorities, and also to commit bank fraud, which are kind of the charges that are at the heart of what's what Manafort's accused of in this particular trial. So it was kind of the big reveal for the prosecution. And Gates is back on the stand today. And I think the question that's interesting to watch is the Manafort's lawyers have already tried to kind of cast Gates as having acted on his own to commit some of these crimes and really tried to impeach his character. And so I think that's going to be the tension that we'll probably see today going forward.
Yeah, the really intriguing headline on the Bloomberg item is Gates testifies he stole from Manafort. Explain that a little bit more.
Yeah, so I think the issue here is that Gates has already kind of pleaded guilty to a number of charges. And so I think that it becomes a question of whether or not he has an incentive to tell the truth now or not. And certainly the defense will argue that he has an incentive to portray himself as kind of an accomplice to Manafort, and Manafort being kind of the one that's leading all this, whereas, you know, certainly Manafort's lawyers are going to try to portray him as the one that was kind of committing the crimes here and say that he's pleading guilty to try to, you know, cooperate with Mueller on this with prosecutors on this investigation, but to gain a weaker sentence for himself.
Okay, let's move to the president's working vacation. President Trump on a working vacation at his golf resort in Bedminster, New Jersey, where he's meeting today with leaders from more than a dozen major companies. Who exactly is joining the president for this meeting, and do we know what they'll be discussing? Are they going to be on the golf course, first of all?
Yeah, so I think that's the thing. He's going to be meeting with them in Bedminster, and it's an interesting group. It's, you know, CEO of Chrysler, Pepsi, Johnson & Johnson, Boeing, you know, really kind of big name companies. And so I think that the timing of it is interesting because these are folks that really Republicans want to be heading into the midterms talking about tax cuts and deregulation and other policies that they would argue are helpful to businesses and subsequently helpful to American workers. However, it will be interesting to see whether there's some tension that arises because, you know, some of the business community has been really critical of Trump's policies on trade and also some of his policies on immigration. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not Trump can kind of get these folks on his side or whether the disputes over trade will kind of overshadow that.
Yeah, a lot of them don't like these tariffs at all.
Yes, exactly. And so that's a real potential big sticking point. And I think that this has the potential to kind of blow up in Trump's face in the sense that, you know, if he invites these guys to Bedminster to, you know, sit with him and hang out at his golf resort, and then it ends up being kind of a dispute over his trade policy, that can end up, the optics of that don't look great for the president.
Okay, broadening this out to the international stage today, it's all about Iran. The first wave of new U.S. sanctions against the country kicked in at midnight, and Iran's president has responded to the move. What's he saying, and where do things go from here?
Yeah, so Rouhani responded with pretty much a pretty strong message of defiance against the U.S. sanctions and calling for unity within Iran to fight back against the U.S. on this. Trump basically doubled down this morning and was touting the sanctions as the most biting in history. And so clearly he's trying to portray himself as having taken a very tough line against Iran, which, you know, by all accounts he has. And so I think that where this goes from now, one of the interesting dynamics to watch is, you know, what the kind of internal fallout is in Iran from this, because it really kind of does put a bit of a stranglehold back on the economy and threatens some of what Rouhani was trying to do through the 2015 nuclear accord to sort of reconnect Iran with the West. And now that's going to be more difficult to do given the U.S. sanctions that not only took effect today, but the ones that are coming, the oil-related sanctions that are coming in November.
Just quickly, the president has been saying that any country doing business with Iran will not be doing business with the U.S. At the same time, a lot of European countries want to keep doing business. They like this agreement.
Yeah, this is a bit of a potential issue that could flare up, you know, where, again, we've seen Trump sort of stoking divisions with European allies and NATO allies. And so this is another area where we could see kind of this dispute over the nuclear accord bleed into other economic issues.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you very much. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
Well, it's 6:55 on Wall Street. It is time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Yeah, good morning, Karen. Artificial intelligence isn't just for the big guys. Turning a small business into a full-fledged data-driven company is easier than you might think. You can start with CRM, Customer Relationship Management. Bloomberg AI expert Krishna Nadella provides an example.
If you are trying to reach out to a certain market sector, maybe you're looking for people that work in the paper industry. In the past, you would just have a bunch of, you know, Rolodexes that had business cards on them. Now you can go much deeper in terms of understanding you work in the paper industry, you are supply chained by certain other industries that you are dependent on, so it's important to have those relationships in place as well.
Well, it ensures who you're speaking to is the right person, and getting started isn't difficult. Typical business products like Salesforce.com have add-ons that will allow a small business to do this type of intelligent relationship management. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
John, thank you. We're watching shares of Dean Foods this morning down more than 7% after it cut its forecast. Other stories we've been following, activist investor Carl Icahn saying shareholders in Cigna should vote against the $54 billion takeover of pharmacy benefits firm Express Scripts Holding because the health insurer is dramatically overpaying. Futures this morning are moving higher. S&P futures are up about 7 points now. Dow futures up 92. NASDAQ futures up 23. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%. CAC in Paris up 0.8%. The FTSE 100 up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.94%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.65%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.9% or 59 cents at $69.60 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5%, up $5.60 at $12.23.30 an ounce. The euro at $1.16, the British pound $1.2968, the yen 111.18. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio. For our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.